You don't think I'm 40 years old, right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we could come and worship you once again. May we continue to become a church that pleases our Lord Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit empower us to be a witness for your saving grace through our lives. May you give us fruits. May you give us strength and give us power. Give us courage. Give us, most importantly, love, so that we may cross over boundaries and hurdle over obstacles that stand in our ways for the living gospel of Jesus Christ shining through our lives. And Father, we come with one heart and one mind. You know how much we want to lead others to the same saving grace that we have in our Lord. And so, Lord, we call upon your presence and that you will use us in a mighty way, whether it's right here in the street of Christie Street in Chinatown or to the end of the world, that we may become living witness of your grace. It is in the precious name of our Lord we pray. Amen. Last week I mentioned to you that our goal is to become a church that pleases our Lord. We're not onto the trip of creating a kingdom. And there's a difference, I guess, in terms of theological emphasis. Some believe the kingdom of God is right here, in terms of spiritual presence. My theology believes that we are the church of Jesus Christ, that we are part of the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God will come, will manifest itself in the way that we all want, that is, Jesus Christ will be in control. He will come to save this world. He will reign where we could see his presence and we would reign together with him. And that's the same concern that many disciples have after Jesus rose from the dead. They were looking for this kingdom where God is in charge, overcoming all the suffering, the oppression, the pain of being human. Yet Jesus said, it is not for you to know the time. In other words, not that it's not coming, but there will be a period in God's plan that is not clarified. You can't really find it in the scripture. If you look in the Old Testament, this period of time, it's not clearly delineated. Because in the Old Testament, it talks about a people called the nation of Israel, ethnic. There's a nation. But Jesus talks about another group of individuals that include not just Jews, but you and I, who are Gentile, Chinese, African-American, all kind of ethnicity. And this is a period where it's undefined. You don't know when it's going to sort of begin, but you are not sure when it's going to end. Whether it's, you know, a short period, the disciples at that time, or we've been in this time for 2,000 years. But the most important thing that Jesus wants is the third component that he wants a church that pleases him to engage in. That is to be involved in obtaining power from the Holy Spirit. In other words, power from a source other than you and I, other than our natural abilities. You know, not that we're going to put away our person, you know, our ability, our strength, our weaknesses, but we need more than that. And so Jesus said to construct a church that pleases him and pleases God the Father. First, we follow the great commandment to love God and to love others as ourselves, like the Samaritan, who is not engaging in any kind of sort of activity that people could see. He's just going along. And when opportunity comes in our lives, we take it. Not sometimes not even conscious. We just reflect. We just do. We just talk because we're filled with the love of God. And that's the kind of love that Jesus wants for us to be real. You know, when we come to meet people on the street and friends, and we don't have to go home and construct and get up in the morning and say, what am I going to do? How am I going to manifest my love as a Christian? Unexpectedly, sometimes not even consciously. It's just part of the thing that Jesus wants us to do. And the second is the great commandment. That is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the good news. It requires us to know the content of the gospel. It requires us to practice how to lead someone to Christ. It's almost like taking first aid. You know, when I work with kids, you know, in the summer program, you know, the director said, Pastor Lee, you got to sit through this first aid, you know, course. You kiss this dummy, you know, you pump it, and you know, like, anyway, because something may happen where you're required to save that individual. They need your CPR, you know, whatever, CPR. I think as Christian, we need to be prepared. Jesus said the great commandment is to, when opportunity comes, you're going to be able to lead someone, you know, systematically through the scripture, through the principle of God's word of how to become a Christian and to be saved. And a third is to not do it yourself. It's to allow the power of the Holy Spirit. And that has to do with waiting. And so Jesus talked about those last component, which quite become difficult. It is much easier for Christian to engage in act of mercy, altruistic kind of activity. And so many churches, in fact, most of the Christendom have engaged in good work. Unfortunately, Christians are competing with Muslims, competing with Buddhists. I have a Buddhist friend. He put me to shame. He's such a loving guy. He doesn't kill a chicken. You know, he oozes out kindness. And people look at him and look at me. My wife look, nice guy. And you, pastor, okay. So we cannot compete with good deeds. We're outnumbered. And so Jesus said, more importantly, we combine those three components, love. But today, we want to share with you the Great Commission and then be a witness. And that's hard. That's not easy. That's something many churches, especially the mainline denomination, resort to doing good work. And so it come to be expected. Those who critique Christianity is always looking at us. You, Christian, has to do good work. You know, don't preach to us. Don't throw the Bible at us. But today I want to share with you, we still have to prepare the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to share with you, I gave you some handout, and then hopefully we prepare. We're going to be going out and sharing the good news of Christ. Jesus said to the disciple, while they were very concerned about the future, they want to see a grand kind of descending of a new way of being a Jew, you know? Been kicked around for all these years, you know? You know, the Assyrian came in and, you know, killed them off, and then the Babylonian took them, and it's the, you know, the Persian were a little better, sent them back, but then the Roman came. They went through a rough time. And finally, the Messiah. And so at the end of the day, after they saw the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it would be natural for them to say, when is this going to end? When is going to be a better life for us? When is the kingdom that's been promised to us through the Old Testament become a reality? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time. He didn't say, oh, forget it. No, the kingdom of God that you look for is change. It's going to be a spiritual kingdom. He didn't say that. He actually did not contradict their expectation. All he did was said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the grand, you know, sort of finale of the history of human. Don't worry about everything's going to become right. All disease, all suffering, all evil put aside when Jesus is on the throne. It's going to come. I want you now, and I think it's the same message for us, to be a witness. When Jesus said to be a witness, literally, where we get the word martyr. And so the early church, to become a witness of Christ, you're going to die. You're going to be arrested. You may be put on the cross like Christ, you might be fed to the lions. You might lose your job. You might have no friends. You might be teaching like C.S. Lewis, get persecuted because he's a Christian. So to be a witness require boldness, require courage, require you stepping out of your fear, your comfort zone. So to be a witness today is, we haven't come to a point where we have to die here yet. But you could die, people could reject you. You share with them the gospel, get lost. Or perhaps some of you work with colleagues, and when are you gonna share the gospel? It's very scary. But perhaps sometime you have enough courage and then they look at you funny, all right? And there you go. But Jesus said, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And what I want to share with you today is that for us to follow the Great Commission, there is this sense of waiting. Now, waiting is not doing nothing. All of us are waiting to see the Lord. To put it more negative, to die so that we could be resurrected. But we don't stop whatever we're doing. We carry out our daily life like the Samaritan. He goes to work. He travels from one place to another. But in the course of his daily life, while going, that's the participle in Matthew 28. It's not the commandment is to make disciple. To go is actually a description of your activity. In other words, going basically means that you and I are going. Where are you going? I'm going to church. Where are you going? I'm going to lunch. Where are you going? I'm going to work. So going is a way of living a life, and it's waiting for the right moment, for the power of the Holy Spirit, also waiting for the moment in your daily life. There are moments in a calendar that allow certain kind of activity that wouldn't happen in another day. So Jesus asked the disciple to wait, and waiting means praying. And so what the disciple did was they gathered together in the upper room, they prayed. They pray, and it's interesting that those who pray with them were Jesus' mother and his brothers. Fascinating kind of description that the mother of Jesus, not married, well, mother of Jesus. Some of us tend to neglect, because of the Catholic emphasis, but Jesus' mom was among other women who pray. And I'm sure men, 12 guys, right, needs sisters, to maybe organize the meal, while they're praying. They got to eat. They didn't go fasting. Somebody has to arrange the environment by which you could pray. And perhaps it's not just praying, but it's a kind of community activity. And so that practice of praying together became a way of life for the early church. While they were doing something, they're always praying. And so today I want to share with you that before we, the sermon title is that if you dare to pray that prayer, may God use you and I to share the good news to those who don't have it. If you dare to pray that prayer, you got to act upon it. But don't do it by your own strength, but do by the power of the Holy Spirit, by praying about it. Praying about it. What are we going to pray? I'm going to share with you. And so the disciple pray, and the opportune time comes when? Pentecost. Pentecost is a day whereby the Jews of the known world converges on to the place called Jerusalem, because they have to go, and there's this celebration. People come all over. They do business. They celebrate their Jewish faith. And so there were many people. And so we look at our opportunity. There are many events in Chinatown, right, from January to one of the coming events is 9/11. So we many Christians remember that day of infamy and then take the opportunity to share or give out tract and pray that others may come to Christ. Some churches have evangelistic outreach. The Presbyterian Church, right on Market Street in Henry. Some of you think that's a liberal church, right? It's a Presbyterian church of USA, not Redeemer. They broke away from that church, but the church has planned on an evangelistic outreach on 9/11. They have a Methodist evangelist. Can you imagine that? In the Presbyterian church, a Methodist evangelist. And they took advantage of that day. And you could take perhaps advantage of Thanksgiving, and there are many opportunities. And so they waited, and the day came, and they became witness. Peter, very shy guy, right? He was very courageous, and he put his foot in his mouth, right? So he stopped talking, okay? He stopped talking. After it was embarrassment. He denied our Lord Jesus Christ, right? He was supposed to be a big shot, leader of the pack, but he kind of chickened out at the end. And Jesus reaffirmed him. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Three times. To encourage him, to strengthen him, so that he could come and stand up in a crowd and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you, how many of you, 1970, where were you in 1970? How many of you were not born? 1971, okay. 1971 is the first time, is when I came to Chinatown. I roam around, I live uptown, right? Somebody invited me, some lady, a girl in school invited me. So I thought, interesting. So I went there because a girl invited me, sorry. And I came to Chinatown to evangel. And as soon as I came, I noticed there was something different about the place. East Broadway was quiet, except for evangel mission. They used to have a 6 o'clock fellowship, right? And they sing, and it was great. In a quiet street, East Broadway, but the presence of God were there. On Sunday morning, great activity. After the church, all the churches would converge, Grace Faith, 40 years ago. Grace Faith, Conservative Baptist, CEM, we all went to Hongying for lunch. We check out all the sisters, right? And the brothers check out Yan and John, that's how they met. I was right next to them, right next to John. I saw it happen. on that day. But one of the great events was that the in Mariners Temple, they had a Jesus rally by Thomas Wang. He's one of the famous Chinese speakers. He speaks English too, evangelist. And I was kind of shoved in that place, all these people. And then within around the same time, we organized the march. Guys were holding signs. We marched down Mott Street, right? We had book table, and we shared the gospel. People made fun of us, And then we culminated that outreach on, where Columbus Park is, right? There's a structure. What do you call it? Longting. Is a people gather in that structure, right? Now, if you go there, you hear Chinese opera. Right, Beijing opera, you hear all kind of Chinese knick-knack, right? And there's a fortune teller lady, along the way, people playing chess, Chinese chess, gambling under the table. There's a big racket over there, right? Well, we got that corner. And if you want to see what goes on, ask King. There's King. See all those photographs. And you could see me over there, long hair, bell bottom, right? We gathered on that day in the park, and if you want to see him, the old timer, were you there, John? I think Elder William is there. You could kind of pick who were there. Oh, wow, these are the old. It was scary, and somehow somebody asked me to give a testimony, so I gave in Toisan, right? I was shivering, my voice was shivering. But then suddenly I felt there's a certain kind of boldness. The power of the Holy Spirit was with me. And that was a time where we remember witnessing. All right. So I think the last time there was a gathering in Columbus Park by Christian was 1995. How many were there? I have the video of it too. Tony Campolo's son was a speaker. How many went to that one? Okay. I got a video. Good stuff. They did a play. Somebody did a play, Friend, You know that movie, that the Friend series and television, somebody acted out, it was pretty good, right? Pretty good. If you want to see that videotape, I'll show it one day by request. It was set up, I got this. I had a high eight, you know, Canons. It's beautiful, better than the digital. The sound is from the analog, it's different. That was the time. I'm not saying you guys got to do that, right? But if you go to Columbus Park now, if you're a Christian, you can't get in. If you're Buddhist, you could get in. You're Hindu, great. If you're, you know, if you're Muslim, fantastic. They'll let you book the place. But if you're Christian, you know, there's a kind of, and so it required us to be more, you know, prayerful, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to flow through. And so today I want to share with you that after Peter and the disciple waited, and the timing was right, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter had no problem standing up, talking to Jews, and being very direct that they crucify their Messiah. And then the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And so that he said to all these people, repent and be baptized and trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. 3,000 people came to know our Lord. Would that happen again? Sure. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. I haven't seen it for a while. The presence of our, you know, community, we're getting old, right? We're getting old. Instead of singing, we'll be sitting in the park, right? We'll be the elderly people sitting in the park, right? Playing. No. Wait a minute. We should, you know, be singing. You know, maybe when you 20 more years, you and I just sing in the park. We compete with those guys who sing in Cantonese opera. All right, we have a little corner over there sharing the God. And so today I wanted to share with you that. You know, some of the burden that the Lord has given me is that, you know, it's very easy for us to kind of be comfortable at a local church. In fact, sometimes it's easy to go overseas, because I went to China, right, has a short-term mission, because it's only like a few weeks. So you pray and you will prepare, and you come back, you know, then you go to work, you come to church, and next thing you know, you kind of lose that edge of the love and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, dictating in your life so that you could continue to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And so today I wanted to leave you with some material. There are three handouts, okay? The first is some stuff that I got from my study called prayer. Pray that they may be saved through you. Basically, praying for evangelism. Some of these points I got from seminary. When I was in seminary, in Dallas Seminary, I had to take a class on evangelism. And the professor said, you have to lead someone to Christ through this class, right? But it didn't hinge on your grade. In other words, if you didn't lead anybody to Christ in that period of semester, they don't want to flunk you. They want to encourage you. Now, at Western Conservative Baptist Seminary, I heard that they had the same kind of class on evangelism. That in order for you to pass the course, you have to lead someone to Christ. If you don't lead someone to Christ in that, you got to repeat it, right? If you don't lead someone to Christ in 3 years of your seminary life, would you graduate a guy? Huh? If I tell you, Pastor Lee, you know, never share the gospel with anyone before. Never let anybody to Christ. Would you hire me to be a pastor? Well, they don't ask those questions. It's embarrassing, right? Right. Other circles do, because they count number, like Jehovah's Witnesses. They count. But, you know, somewhere in between those extremes is that we are to be prepared, right? So there's a song that, you know, will I go empty-handed? How many of you are going to go empty-handed? Anybody want to dare to say? Oh. We don't want to go empty-handed and, you know, without having the opportunity to share and then leading someone to Christ. So today I want to encourage you to first pray like the disciples, to follow the two components of God's, you know, plan, to be a witness, I mean, to obey the great commandment and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move you to be a witness. The first thing is that we pray for workers. The first thing is that God is the sovereign creator of the heavens and the earth. We, in terms of my theology, is the sovereignty of God. I'm a Calvinist, 4.5 point. Okay? That God is in charge. Ultimately, he sends, not me deciding. And so Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. A lot of people ready to become Christian, but the work are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. So you pray that God will send somebody to share the gospel. And if you dare to pray, God send me, send you, will you be willing to pray, God send me? Second is to pray for open door. God is the one that opens doors. In other words, he leads you. He allows a certain kind of opportunity in a, you know, in one's life or one's sort of country. Sometimes disaster brings sort of opportunity. Sometimes a date, you know, or a broken romance while you're in college, you know, it's a great opportunity for the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Losing your job or whatever the situation is, we pray that God will open doors for the gospel, for the message. Maybe you could pray that in your church, in your calendar, as you plan next year, all right? Some churches has this practice of evangelistic Sunday. Sometimes we get to be routine. Other churches just forget about it. I don't remember in my circle of, you know, American-born Chinese churches, people have kind of gotten up and say, wait, let's have an emphasis on evangelism. Because, you know, it's not easy. Sometimes nothing happens. But we got to do it. And so pray for the opportunity. Third, pray for bonus. In other words, not to be afraid. Now, Lord, consider their threats. how many of you receive threats? Well, there's a lot of threats. Sometimes threats come from within, right? Your perception of danger, your perception of embarrassment. You just want to get on, you know, you just don't want to get out of your comfort zone. You ask God to give you bonus. Your servant to speak your word with great bonus. Not only bonus, but pray for clarity. Pray that I may proclaim the gospel clearly as I should. You have it down pat. You know, somebody wake you up and say, share with me the gospel. Boom, boom, boom. You don't go, oh, wait, let me look at my notes. Let me go to my Bible. Let me check my file. Let me turn on the computer. Let me check. No. Clarity at the moment when it's needed. Pray for peace. Paul actually wants a Christian to pray that God will give wisdom to the government to solve problems so that places do not lapse into chaos. It's very difficult to continue to share the gospel, to organize God's plan in a chaotic environment. And so Paul prayed, God, Lord, you know, you want people to become Christian, to know your truth. Please grant us, you know, like the city, 9/11, pray for the mayor, pray for the police force so that there's no terrorist activity, so that Chinatown is not in danger. How many of you were in 9/11? Where were you? I was coming to Chinatown, right? See the plane, boom, you know, next thing I know, I couldn't come in. And the next day I came in because I had a clergy. I mean, this place was like a, you know, World War II, you know, place of smoke. And just, we pray that God protect us, you know. After the first bombing of the World Trade Center in 93, we should have prayed more, right? We should have prayed more. Lord, not again, right? If we pray, you know, alert, then maybe it could be avoided. Pray for a receptive heart. Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brother, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as he has with you. we have honored the message of Christ. So we pray that others may honor the gospel, the Christian message. Today is fell into dishonor. It's sort of people take for granted, people kind of smirk. But we pray that that would change. Most of all, we pray for salvation because it is God's will for people to come to know Christ. May the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of the grace of God, the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentile with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentile may become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so we pray for many of our kinsmen. I was walking down by Roosevelt Park. I cannot believe, right, that Roosevelt Park right here is carpeted by children. Carpet, you know what carpet is like, right? It's all children, little kids. They like carpet that cover Roosevelt Park. There's zillions of them. Where did they come from? I mean, there are zillions of kids in that park. You ever dare to walk there? How many of you take your kids to show? That place is a madhouse. There are billions of Chinese there. I have never seen anything like that. You go to any park in the city, right? Kid per square feet, inch. Go count it, right? Some of you, some of you got time into demography, right? Go there and click. See how many kids in a high attendance day, and you take the square, you know, the area of that park, right, and divide it by the kid, and give me a density. I guarantee probably the highest density, you know, it's more dense than Columbus Park, right? Because Columbus Park is elderly per square feet. Okay. Right, so that's my speed, okay? I'm going to be sharing the gospel over there. So some of you are younger. That's your target. It's amazing. Come up with some plan. Right? What did they do? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Go to after church. I don't know what's a high attendance day. Some of you, figure out the high attendance day. You know, zillion kids. You know, one time we had there was a street fair. It's by the same Presbyterian church, right? Good thing about a pastor that has no job, is no study job, is that I float around, right? So I help, you know, they asked me to help, okay. They closed down, you know, Market Street between Eastport Way and Henry Street, right next to the bridge. Next to the bridge, there is this huge shopping, you know, center. You know that? There's zillions of shops. There's a huge supermarket in there. There's zillions of kids too. So they had this street fair, right? They got these, you know, slide, you know, we blow it up. It looks like, you know, a castle, right? And they got targets and stuff. 500 kids came by and within the course of 4 hours, they took, but they didn't have any tracks, right? Somebody said, we should have had some Christian messages, right? Right. So they just had fun. And so they missed out in one component. So maybe next year we'll get them again, okay? Pray that these kids, there are so many kids. The Fuzhou Chinese, how many of you are from Fuzhou? There are no Fuzhou Chinese here? How many of you have Toisan? Oh, we got to do cross-cultural evangelism. You don't need to go to Haiti, okay? Right here is cross-cultural. Toisan and Fuzhou are very different, right? Oh, somebody's a principal, right, in Fuzhou school, right? I mean, these kids, there's zillions of them. You got to do some investigation. Where did they come from, right? So I'm going to close with leaving you some stuff inside. Okay, so... your assignment is that let's say you get yellow and orange. you find someone that has the same combination, right? Or you have white and white, okay? You find someone with the same combination and get together, and maybe you could, you know, have a little kind of organized fellowship to share the gospel. And I want you to take this. This is also given out to the Chinese. It's not Chinese. It's got English in there too. So what you could do is to look at it and pray about it. And if you feel the Lord give you the courage, you just go out and give it to someone who passed by, right? And if you want to put your name down there or put the name of your church, I want to, you know, make sure the elder says okay. And you could do it yourself. My goal is that if you could prepare a message that you could carry around, all right, could be big, could be small. You got a little pocket knife here. And when the opportunity come, may the Lord use you to be his witness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you send your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to us. It was a conscious sending and a willingness to come to meet us, to talk with us, and to become our friend. And Lord, we pray that same prayer would be true for us so that we may follow your great commandment to love you and others, and to follow your great commission to make disciples by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that the right time will come for us to be witness. May you prepare us. May we pray. May we find material that would share the gospel, whether we know Chinese or not, whether we speak another language or not. We may become instrument of your grace. Use us, Lord, so that your kingdom will be multiplied through us. It is in the precious name of our Lord we pray. Amen.